Well, good morning, Sovereign Grace Church. I hope that you all are doing well. Today we're going to take a look at Philippians chapter 4, just verses 6 and 7 this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, would you please open up to chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Starting in verse 6, it says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us, revealing yourself to us, not leaving us alone to figure out how to live out our lives. But Lord, you have been real specific in your word. And Lord, you have given us truths about you, truths about Jesus Christ and the gospel, and truths about what it looks like for us to pick up a cross and follow Jesus by faith. And so, Lord, I ask that you would take these truths that we find in these two verses and you would speak to us. You would take these truths and sow them into our hearts, that when we get anxious, Lord, we would be reminded of your will, your plan for us to fight anxiety, Lord, to fight the what ifs and worrying about life, Lord, that we might draw near to you, trust you by crying out to you constantly in prayer with thanksgiving. And we just ask, Lord, that your peace would guard us and lead us as we seek to honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to introduce you to a man by the name of Rob. I came across Rob on the internet. He had written a post about something that he was struggling with. And what he was struggling with was the what ifs. And here's what he had to say about his first what if attack. He said, "I remember one day watching a television show on the Learning Channel about skin cancer. On the show, they talked about how you need to watch moles on your body for any signs of change. They showed one person who had a lump form under a mole. Testing proved it was a very aggressive cancer. Many people die within a matter of months because the cancer has already spread to other vital organs. Somewhere near the end of the show, Rob suddenly remembered that 5 years earlier, I had discovered a lump on my back. I jumped up, went into the bathroom, took off my shirt, and tried to find where that lump had been. Sure enough, there it was. Only now it looked like it had grown to be about the size of a nickel. To make matters worse, it was right underneath a very dark-colored mole. I was freaked out. I had forgotten about it because it was not easily seen or felt at the inside base of my right shoulder blade. What else could happen? Well, you see, I didn't have any health insurance at the time. I started thinking, what if it's cancer? I can't afford treatment. I would go broke. After 24 hours of agonizing self-pity, I decided I would have to get it looked at. I made an appointment with a local dermatologist. He performed a biopsy in his office. He removed the entire lump, which was dug in about 2 inches into my back. He said not to worry. It just looked like a cyst. Still, it had to be sent to a lab to confirm it wasn't cancerous. So for the next week, I was a nervous wreck, constantly thinking, what if? Test results confirmed it was not cancerous. What a relief. Don't you hate the what ifs? They just kind of seem to take over our minds like an out-of-control wildfire, thinking up really the worst case scenarios. For example, what if COVID-19 is the new normal? What if the life that we have been living for the last several months is prolonged and it actually becomes the new normal? Or what if I lose my job? Then we start to think things like, then I'm going to lose everything. Then I'm not going to be able to pay my mortgage. I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. I'm not going to be able to buy food. I'm going to lose everything. Or what if my children don't change? We can think, well, maybe they'll get worse. Maybe they'll spend the rest of their lives in and out of jail, addicted to drugs, and then maybe they'll die and go to hell because they never believe in Jesus. And so the what ifs are horrible. The what ifs take us down a road that is not real. It's not reality. It's made up in our minds. And we usually take the what ifs to the absolute worst case scenario. So the what ifs are horrible because anxiety is horrible. It causes us to live in an imaginary world of unbelief in the goodness of God. It also robs us of our peace and joy in God. But this morning, what we're going to take a look at in these two verses is something that God wants to teach us in regards to how we fight and battle the what ifs, or how we fight anxiety, or how we fight worrying. And what we're going to learn is that the way to be anxious about nothing is to pray about everything. Let me say that again. The way to be anxious about nothing is to pray about everything. And so as we seek to dig into this truth, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at three simple points from this text. And so our first point is this: don't worry. Point number one, don't worry. Paul commanded the Philippians not to worry when he wrote the following: do not be anxious about anything. Do not worry about anything. Don't play the what if game about anything. Now, the reason Paul was encouraging to not be anxious about anything was because they were probably going to be tempted to be anxious about some things, or they were probably anxious about some things. And we know this because as we've read through this letter together, we know that they were anxious about Paul. They didn't know if he was going to be set free or if he was going to be killed. They didn't know if they were ever going to see him again. We also know that they were concerned for their friend Epaphroditus, who had gotten seriously sick as he was seeking to care for Paul. And so they were worrying about Epaphroditus. We also know that the Philippians were facing serious threats and persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, Paul wrote the following. He says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." And then he adds this: "And not frightened, not fearful, not anxious in anything by your opponents." The Philippians, you see, had opponents that weren't just seeking to win a game. Rather, they were seeking to destroy their faith in Jesus Christ. The Philippians lived out their lives knowing that at any moment someone could have captured them, thrown them into jail, and even killed them because they believed in and were following Jesus Christ. And Paul's advice here in verse 6 is, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't spend your time playing the what if game. Now, this is one of those things that is easier said than done, isn't it? Back in 2003, I experienced the what ifs. I experienced the what ifs a lot, but in 2003, this what if battle stood out to me. I was attending the pastor's college at the time, and I remember on the news hearing something about what they were calling the DC sniper. There was a man who was in our area, because the pastor's college was in the DC area, who was killing people, who was randomly shooting random people just what appeared to be for fun. So I remember sitting in class and just beginning to play the what if game. What if I walk out of this building and the sniper is sitting on the hill and he shoots me? Or what if my wife is pumping gas at a gas station and the DC sniper shoots her? I wish I could say that since these men have been captured, that I've been free from being anxious or playing the what if game. But the reality is I get anxious a lot. I get anxious every time I get the chance to share the gospel with someone. I get anxious almost every time I try something new. I play the what if game at times when my kids hop into the car and leave all by themselves, especially as Charlie's driving for the first time. I play the what-if game sometimes on Sunday morning. I play the what-if game wondering if anybody is going to show up again. I'm playing the what if game, or I'm battling the what if game through this COVID-19 virus. What if I get this virus? What if somebody I know gets this virus? What if somebody I know gets this virus and gets seriously sick? Or what if this virus, which has changed everything, including the way in which we do church, what if it destroys our church? I wish I would say those thoughts don't run through my mind, but they do. And so I find myself at times getting anxious. I find myself worrying about what the future is going to look like for us as a church, what the future is going to look like for us as a family, what the future is going to look like for my kids. You see, an anxious thought can develop in just a moment, and if it's not captured, what it can do is it can take over our minds in just a matter of seconds. Have you ever experienced this? Do you worry? What do you worry about? Do you find yourself playing the what if game? More important question is, what do you do when you begin to worry? What do you do when you begin to become anxious about something? Or what do you do when you start to ask what if, and you can't stop asking the what if question? Some people just try to muscle through it. Others try to ignore it. Rob, the guy I was telling you about earlier, who played the what if game with skin cancer, what he tried to do was he tried drinking his troubles away, but what he found out was that his troubles were right there with him in the morning, along with a headache. So many people try to do many different things to overcome their anxiety. Some people don't get out of bed, as they try to ignore it, and they don't get off the couch, and so they don't fight it. So the question is, what do you do to overcome your anxiety and your fears? Or what should we do? The answer is found for us in our second point, and the point is simply pray. When we become anxious, we are called to pray. When we start to worry, we're called to pray. When we start to play the what if game, we should pray. Again, verse 6 says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What we have here is God's plan for us to overcome our anxieties and fears. And the plan is simple. The way to be anxious about nothing is to pray about everything. Or you might be able to say, when we become anxious about something, we need to pray about that something. We need to turn our eyes and focus on the Lord and trust in Him. And so we fight our anxieties and fears with prayer. Walter Hansen, in his commentary, wrote the following: only by praying with thanksgiving in every situation is it possible to stop being anxious about anything. The continuous positive focus of praying with thanksgiving to God in everything breaks and replaces the habit of worry. To begin by praising God for the fact that in this situation, as it is, He is so mightily God, such a beginning is an end of anxiety. And so prayer works to destroy anxiety. Prayer works to begin to put to death the what ifs. It's like water being thrown on a fire. The reason it does this is because prayer brings God into view. Prayer turns our attention away from trusting in ourselves and in our circumstances to really trusting in God alone, who Paul wrote earlier in, I think, the end of verse 5, that the Lord is at hand, that the Lord is near. As we walk through difficult things, as we walk through situations where we find ourselves being anxious, we're reminded that God is near. And we also learn from His word that He cares about us in the midst of difficult situations. 1 Peter 5, 6, Peter writes the following: humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. And so the Lord cares for us. When we find ourselves being anxious, we need to be reminded of these truths, that we are to cast those anxieties upon the Lord because He cares for us. And then Paul, writing to the Romans in chapter 8, said the following. He said, this. He said, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so what Paul does there as he's writing to the Romans is you can insert your what if, your worst what if, and you can read Romans 8, 31 through 37, and what you're going to find God saying to you is what if? What if all those things happen? And the answer to that what if is it will never separate you from the love of God. It will never separate you from Christ Jesus. So the worst case scenario could possibly happen, but it can never take away the love of God that has been given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. We can't be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. God did not spare his only son, but instead he killed him on a cross for us to save us. And if he's done that for us, how will he not also graciously give us all things? You see, the Lord cares for us. He cares that when we find ourselves afraid, when we find ourselves playing the what-ifs, he doesn't abandon us. He doesn't call for us to walk through difficult things alone. Instead, he invites us to draw near to him and to pray to him and to pray specifically to him with thanksgiving, because he wants us to unload our burdens upon him. Now I'm experiencing that. I told you back in 2003 I played the what if games, but I'm playing the what if games right now as well. Not just in the COVID things, but I find myself, and I've kind of defined this season and what I would say the last couple months as just a season of fixing things. It feels like most of everything I have is in the process of breaking down and needing to be fixed. And so my house, there's just a number of projects that just need to be fixed. And that's normal for owning a home. My vehicles, all three of my vehicles have had to be fixed lately. I've been meeting with people in the office or talking with them on the phone. And there's certain things in their lives that just need to be fixed. Areas where they need to be encouraged and things they need to repent of and to grow in. And so it's a season of fixing things. And in this season, I can just find myself being overwhelmed and just thinking, what if I don't get out of this season? What if things just stay broken forever? And my mind can just continue to go down that road. But what I love about seasons like this, seasons of difficulty, seasons of feeling overwhelmed, seasons of feeling stressed, seasons of playing the what if game and being anxious is that God is in the midst of those seasons. He's after my heart. He's teaching me how to trust him. He's teaching me how to battle the what ifs, to battle anxiety, to battle worrying about stuff by casting all of my cares upon him and trusting that he is actually God and he's actually at work in all things. And so he's teaching me to pray. He's teaching me to lift my eyes above my circumstances and to be in constant prayer for the life he's called me to live, for the people around me, and for this church. And it's not an easy thing, because a lot of times what we want is we want it done quickly. But as we battle things like anxiety, as we battle things like stress or feeling overwhelmed, what it is it's a battle. It's a battle where we have to constantly turn away from playing the what-if game or being anxious and casting those cares upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through prayer and thanksgiving. Think about it. It's like a kid. It's like a kid who wants them. I remember when my kids were little. I remember specifically one time Charlie, he really wanted a knife. And so he would pray for a knife. And he would literally ask me multiple times each day if he could have a knife. And I finally told him when he was little, I said, when I see a little bit more responsibility out of you, I will give you a knife. And so every day he would come to me and he'd ask me, am I responsible? And so in a sense, he was relentless because he wanted that. And so he constantly asked for things. And so when we fight anxiety, it's a fight. We need to know that it's a fight. It's not simply going to be a one and done prayer. It's going to be creating a new habit of turning away from playing the what if game to creating the habit of trusting the Lord in the midst of every moment of our lives. And so it's a habit of just constant prayer, constant asking the Lord to relieve us, to care for us, to lead us, and to thank Him for these things. And so let me just ask you, do you pray? When you find yourself becoming anxious, do you give yourselves to trusting in the Lord by crying out to Him with specific prayers? Or do you find yourself just giving yourself to just worrying about things? So are you praying for your marriage? Are you praying for your kids? Are you praying for your job? Are you praying for the people around you, your neighbors? Are you praying for your kids' salvation? Are you praying for our church? Are you praying for your future? Are you praying for our future? Are you praying for your health? As we find ourselves in the midst of this COVID-19 trial, it should be one that's just marked by prayer. That the Lord would guide us, that the Lord would lead us, that the Lord would protect us, that the Lord would give us wisdom to know how to interact with other people who think differently than we do about certain things. Praying that our friendships would stay intact as we don't see one another in person as often. And so we're called to pray about everything when we find ourselves becoming anxious. Nothing is too small or too large for God. He invites us to pray about everything because He's interested in everything we do and He wants to meet us in everything we do. And the key here, I think, in our prayer and supplication is to be thankful, is to give thanks to God. And so we fight anxiety, we fight the what ifs by thanking God for what He has given to us. So I came across a story a few years ago from Corrie ten Boom. And the story, it's kind of famous. You can Google it if you'd like to. You don't have to read the whole book. It comes from her book, The Hiding Place. And the story is about her sister, Betsy, thanking God for fleas. And so I'm going to read this to you. It's a little lengthy, but I think it gets the point that I'm trying to get across to you. And so it says this. They were captured by the German Nazis. They were thrown into barracks with a bunch of other women, and this place was absolutely horrible. It says this. In their barracks, they were shown to a series of massive square platforms stacked three levels high and placed so close together that people had to walk single file to pass between them. Rancid straw was scattered over the platforms, which served as communal beds for hundreds of women. Corrie and Betsy found they could not sit upright on their own platform without hitting their heads on the deck above. They lay back, struggling against nausea that swept over them from the reeking straw. Suddenly, Corrie started up, striking her head on the cross slats above. Something had bitten her leg. Fleas, she cried. Betsy, the place is swarming with them. Descending from the platform and edging down a narrow aisle, they made their way to a patch of light. Here, and here, another one, Corrie wailed. Betsy, how can we live in such a place? Show us, Betsy said matter-of-factly. It took Corrie a moment to realize that her sister was praying. Corrie, Betsy then exclaimed excitedly, he's given us the answer before we asked. And he always does. In the Bible this morning, where was it? Read that part again. Corrie checked to make sure no guards were nearby and then drew from a pouch a small Bible that she had managed to smuggle into the concentration camp. It was in 1 Thessalonians, she said, finding the passage in the feeble light. Here it is. Comfort the frightened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's it, Betsy interrupted. That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this barracks. Corey stared at her incredulously, then around at the dark, foul-smelling rooms, such as, she inquired, such as being assigned here together. Corey bit her lip. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Such as you're holding in your hands, or what you're holding in your hands. Corey looked down at the Bible. Yes, thank you, dear Lord, that there was no inspection when we entered here. Thank you for all the women here in this room who will meet you in these pages. Yes, agreed Betsy. Thank you for the very crowding here. Since we're packed so close that many more will hear. She looked at her sister expectantly and prodded. Corey? Oh, all right. Thank you for the jammed, crammed, stuffed, packed, suffocating crowds. Thank you. Betsy continued on serenely. For the fleas. And for... Well, that was too much for Corey. She cut into her sister Betsy. There's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea. Give thanks in all circumstances, Betsy corrected. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of this place where God has put us. So they stood between the stacks of bunks and gave thanks for fleas, though on that occasion, Corey thought Betsy was surely wrong. Well, as the story goes on, Betsy became ill, so ill that she couldn't leave the barracks, and so she was stuck inside with the other ladies who were ill, and they were there to make socks. And though they got into a dispute one day about the size that the socks should be, and then they called in a guard to come help them settle that dispute. And then when Corey came back in, she was talking to Betsy, and here's what Betsy had to say. You know, we've never understood why we had so much freedom in the big room, Betsy said, referring to the part of the barracks where the sleeping platforms were. Well, I found out. This afternoon there was confusion in my knitting group about sock sizes, so we asked the supervisor to come in and settle it. But she wouldn't. She wouldn't step into the door, and neither would the guards. And you know why? Betsy could not keep the triumph from her voice as she exclaimed, because of the fleas. That's what she said. That place is crawling with fleas. Corey's mind raced back to their first hour in the barracks. She remembered Betsy bowing her head and thanking God for creatures that Corey could see no use for. See, Corey and Betsy could have grumbled and complained in their horrible situation, but they didn't. They fought the temptation with thankfulness to God, recognizing his sovereignty and his goodness. They thanked God for those fleas, and God used those fleas for their good and the good of those around them. You see, we need to learn to thank God for the fleas. We need to learn to thank God for the difficulties that we walk through in life. Now, this is a hard one to swallow, but if we really believe that God is who he says he is in the Bible, then we must recognize his sovereignty and his goodness by thanking him, because he is at work in all things, even the most difficult things that we might even experience. When life is hard and it's not going the way that you want it to go, don't worry about it. Instead, pray about it and spend time giving thanks to God for it. Set apart time to do nothing but thank God specifically for the life that he has given to you and the circumstances around you. The way to be anxious about nothing is to pray about everything. And as we pray about everything, we can expect to receive the peace of God, which is point number three. Receive the peace of God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The result of turning away from trusting in ourselves and trusting in God through prayer is that we will receive peace from God. What this means is that God will quiet the what ifs and give us a calmness in our souls that is confident that no matter what happens, he's still God. He's still good. And he's always at work in all things, working those things together for the good of those that love him. You see, this peace is a gift from God. It surpasses all human understanding. No self-help book can give you this peace. you can't logically reason yourself into experiencing this peace. It can only be received as a gift from God. This peace will also guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the picture that Paul wants us to have in mind here is one of a Roman soldier who is stationed in a city to guard the city and to protect that city from harm. So in a similar but far more superior way, the peace of God that he gives to us, it protects us by guarding our hearts and our minds from wandering off into unbelief. At the end of the day, this peace is supernatural because it's a gift from our God. It's one of those things that's hard to explain, but it's easy to identify. You see it all the time when you watch somebody walk through something very, very difficult, but there's joy present, or there's this calm that's present, or there's this simple faith where they're just turning again and again to the Lord Jesus Christ. The world would fully expect a person to be anxious in difficult things, but when somebody receives the peace of God and it's guarding their minds, they're not going to find somebody who is turning away from the Lord, but instead finding peace and joy in God. See, it's supernatural. It's a gift that God gives to everybody who's in Christ Jesus. It's yours if Christ has saved you. It's yours if you have turned and trusted in Jesus Christ and looking to him as your Savior by faith. It's so important that we understand that this peace is available to everyone who believes in Jesus because he died to secure it for us. He took our place on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins that we might receive peace with God and receive this peace that surpasses all understanding. He reconciled us to God the Father through his death. And this peace, it's available to us because of him. We don't earn it. Jesus earned it for us. All that's really left for us to do is to turn to God and to receive it as a gift from him. And so in closing, let me just remind you, the way to be anxious about nothing is to pray about everything. So what I'd like you to do if you're listening to this from home is to spend some time, if you're listening with somebody, and just talk about things that you might find yourself getting anxious about. What is it right now that tempts you to play the what if game? Where do you need to trust the Lord right now for a certain situation in your life? And what I want you to do is you talk about this and then spend some time together and just pray. Pray specifically about these things. Cast all of these cares, all of these anxieties upon the Lord, trusting that he is a good and gracious God who is all powerful, who's at work in all things, who's at hand and who cares for you and wants to relieve your anxiety and give you peace in the midst of a difficult situation. And so spend some time praying together before you get up and move on today. With that being said, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord pour out his Spirit upon you, and may you experience the peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, today. God bless.